Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I wasn't planning on doing this one today, but the snow was coming down pretty hard, and it's Friday, and I decided to take the day off of work and not go in and deal with all that crazy traffic. And hopefully it'll pan out. Plus, I didn't have anything like due this week, so that helped. I'll have plenty to do next week because I'm taking the day off. But that's cool. I'm gonna drink my morning coffee, which is a Dr. Pepper 10. I don't drink coffee, so my only caffeine is whatever I choose to drink. My wife is going to work, but she's going to work really late. I had shoveled this morning the driveway and the backyard so Harley can get out. And then I took the Durango and brushed all off the snow and warmed up the vehicle just so it wouldn't have snow. But since that time, from this morning to now, it snowed so much, it looks like I didn't even shovel. The car is covered with snow again, and I'll be doing it again in a few more minutes. So this week, not a lot in terms of comic books. Unusually, I got a DCBS shipment outside of my normal DCBS shipment, and I don't know. Every now and then, they forget to send me a book or something, and then they ship it via postal. And it looks like this is Tarot Witch of the Black Rose 120, and they shipped it in its own folder, which I thought was unusual. I got the Kickstarter Start Again, which is like a thick comic book. Looks like there's something else in there. I should open it. It looks like it's got a print, but I guess what I'm really curious about is what else is behind this? I didn't notice it before. It looks like I got Start Again, number one, a superhero boy meets a girl story. I got Start Again stories, and Start Again number two. So this looks pretty cool. I'm just thumbing through it, and it looks really cool. Been really happy with the Kickstarter, and then it came with like a looks like a rogue sketch, but it's a print of some sort. Maybe a character that's in the comic, I have no idea. But this looks like a cool package. And that is a Kickstarter. I didn't even think about it, but when I ordered World's End Harem number one, I didn't realize they had more volumes already out. I thought I was jumping on right away. Amazon order came in with World's End Harem number two and three. And I think there's a fourth volume. So it's a manga that I've really enjoyed. It's probably one that I was surprised. Why the Last Man? I did enjoy The Drifting Classroom quite a bit. So those are the two mangas that I really enjoyed. Jason asked me to talk a little bit about manga, my experience. Every time I dip my toe in, I never liked it until I think I hit age 49. I don't know. I seem to be in a state where I'm willing to accept everything as I get older. In entertainment and just enjoy things for what they are. World's End Harem is which I think I've talked about briefly. It's about a guy who was dying of a disease, and they had to put him in a cryo tube, put him to sleep for 5 years, so that because they thought it would take him 5 years to have a cure, and then they'd rewake him. And he said goodbye to the love of his life, his girlfriend at the time, and goodbye to his parents and loved ones, got in the cryo tube, and then was woken up. to find that he's one of the last men on Earth. I mean, there are a few that they're waking from the cryotube, but the men population died from the M virus, and there's very few, so they want to breed him. This corporation that awoken him wants him to breed with a lot of women, and basically make him a sperm factory, but he refuses, and he wants to find the love of his life, and they agree to help him. They send a nurse with him, which they think is a little girl. She looks like she's like six. And a protector who's this big woman. But they flip the screen on you. The nurse is really the big woman, and the protector is really the little girl. And she seems to have powers. And then one of the owners of that corporation that revived him. And during this course, he's run into another guy who's like in heaven. He's like, I'm having sex every day. This is great. And he just wants to find his love. And it's a mystery. A really good manga. Really entertaining. I didn't know what to expect. And then the Drifting Classroom I talked about. It's kind of like a class. A whole school. Which it looks like it had all the ages groups, you know, first grade through high school, get zapped into this mysterious portal, a new world, and it shows clips of the parents coping with the school vanishing back home, and then the horror story of this apocalyptic thing that happened on the school where all the teachers sort of go nuts, and I really enjoyed that. So if it wasn't for a free comic book day, I wouldn't have really explored a lot of the manga stuff. The other thing that came in, Kirk probably told me about it, but I'll give credit where credit's due, and it was a collected comics library. They were talking about the DC hardcover in their previous picks for trades, and Chris brought up America at War, which was a Fireside trade, and I wanted to really pick it up, so I did, and it arrived this week, and it's a very early trade. It turns out like Fireside did several trades. There's a Strange Adventures one, which I'm really interested in, and they're really old trades before trades were a big thing, and I find that fascinating. I knew Fireside did a lot of those pocket books, and they did like Son of Origins and Women Origins and all kinds of different ones. I own a few of them in the basement. I like to find them at some point because they aren't accessible. I think they're in a box where I used to have my books. And I don't know where that box is. I know it's here. I just haven't been able to get to it. But, yeah, that's sort of what's happened. I released an episode before this, which talked about how I felt about Bad Idea Comics, you know, Dinesh and his crew forming a new Valiant, if you will, without the Valiant characters doing their own thing. And I'm very troubled by it, because the more I thought about it, the more it bugged me, because of... I like everything about it, you know, not being digital, not doing variant covers, keeping the lines small. The creators they were getting were amazing. They're all pretty much worked with them before. The only thing I really don't like is they're only providing to 20 shops. And, like, the thing that really bothered me that I found out later is that DCBS, I guess, asked to be one of the 20 shot, you know, and they were shot. They're not one of the initial sets. And there is talk I saw with some comments that they're going to grow from 20 to 50 over time. But you know what? How many people are going to miss those initial books? And that really bugs me. And the more I thought about it, it's very different from everything else I support. Because Kickstarter I can support and I get it, or I don't get it. But, I have the opportunity to get it. Site comics, That one's the closest that I can think to this paradigm because it's a pain in the ass. Because they'll only send, you can't order direct. You have to ask them, your comic, to reach out to them. And a lot of comic stores don't give a fuck about publishers that are going outside of Diamond. For one, yeah, they might sell one copy, but they want to sell like a lot. And if you want to go through Sight Comics, I just want one copy for a customer. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that. They probably have to order at least five or more. And when they do get those copies, they probably will sell one. So it's a weird situation. So yeah, I get those through Cowabunga, so it's a little different because Cowabunga is a really good store for like trying to get you what you want. And I have gone to them for TKO. No, the first round of TKO I ordered on my own, went directly to TKO. Second order, I went to Cowabunga, and that worked out. But yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot, and the more it irks me because accessibility to something you want is probably involving comics is probably my most biggest pet peeve. I like things to be accessible because I love all comics and I want to experience these comics. And I don't know if I will be able to. I mean, I figure there'll be some way to order from one of their stores and I might go that route just because I want to experience it. Or I'll stick to my guns and just say I'm pissed about this, and which is highly unlikely because of what I am and what I want to experience. But I just don't like the ability to not get something because I can't pre-order it or I can't order it. And I have to just hope for something to land. We'll see. I'll just wait and see. And then let's jump into some of the weekly reads. I want to try to knock out some of these. These were over the holidays. Didn't read a lot, believe it or not, until we got to the Christmas type season. So let me see where I left off. So we're in December 2nd through December 8th of 2019. We had 16 comics that week. Not a good week. There's been worse though. We had one Vault, one Source Press, seven Marvel, two Kickstarters, two DC, one Dark Horse, one Avatar, and one Aerosol. I don't have a lot of Aerosol in my collection, but pretty good distribution of reading that week. We had Far Sector number one. I ranked a 3 out of 5, which means I enjoyed it. It wasn't as good as I thought it would be, and I think that's why I lowered it to 3 out of 5. I had a higher expectation for this, but it's a Green Lantern is a cop on a planet that has not experienced murder in quite some time, and now murders start to happen. So it reminded me a lot of the way, like, the Valiant Entertainment brought back Rye. Very similar. You know, it was a culture in Japan in the future that hadn't experienced murder, and there was a murder. Similar premise. 3 out of 5. We'll get into the 4 out of 5s. Barely making a 4 out of 5 with Sergeant Werewolf, and you think, you know, it's kind of like Creature Commandos. It was a Kickstarter. The reason I bought this was not for Sergeant Werewolf, although Kirk would have probably demanded I get it because it's a military comic. But I mostly bought it because I love Savage Dragon, and the other book it came with was Johnny Ray Gunn Savage Dragon Team Up Number 1. We'll talk about that later. But this is a military unit goes to Germany where they are making an army of golems. The sergeant gets killed, and a wolf skin that his teammates put over and brings him back to life to take down the Nazis as a werewolf. So they basically get he gets shot, and then they take this wolf skin off the floor and try to wrap him in it, and it actually becomes his body. From Marvel Comics, we have Captain Marvel, Absolute Carnage. That is Captain Marvel's cat is overtaken by a symbiote, and she has to free her cat. Very unusual story, but you know what? It was fun and light. We had Steeple from Dark Horse Comics, a 4 out of 5. A new clergywoman goes to help a priest in a small town that has a lot of supernatural incidents happening. It looks like a friend she met is with Satan, so it's kind of like the church against the devil. The next 4 out of 5 is Beyond the Demon Sea. This was a very unusual book, very different. The artistic, it's like a tale in the sea. A young couple sets sail for America, and everyone on board dies from bad weather. There is only one sailor who survives, and a husband and wife, and the husband goes crazy and kills his wife because he thinks the sailor is after his wife. Very unusual story, very horrific. Happens around the 1700s or 1800s, I can't remember. Cat and Ma That's from Source Point Press, a publisher that I'm really impressed with. Cat and Mouse from Aracel, this is the volume one. They have released a new volume. This is a veterinary doctor becomes a demon, and a cop does not get promoted, so works with the girl he has busted many years ago to become thieves. They are working for the Yakuza, but quit and now ha are being hunted. And I was on board. This one I had sent to me from a listener. I think his name's Chris. And he heard me talk about Cat and Mouse on an episode. Kickstarter, I think it was, and he sent me the original, and I'm so glad he did, because I do have these still queued up on my my comic shop to buy the whole run, and I'm just kind of waiting, trying to cool it with my purchases a little bit until I can at least clean up a little bit. We'll see. Warrior Nun Dora from Avatar. A spoiled daughter grows up in a religious family and is rebellious on everything and is failing out of school. Her parents send her to a convent with nuns where she runs into warrior nuns and she is rebelling. Ariel Warrior Nun story is a backup where she teams up with a demon to take on a Nazi robot. That was, I think, a reprint story after Pat Shan's initial story. And it has an early Assad Ribic story where the father tortures his son because he believes he is a demon. I didn't finish spelling son, so that's what. Later, the demon is destroying churches throughout Europe, and a warrior nun is sent to stop him. So it had three stories, two reprints, and one original content. It was a pretty thick book. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I don't know what it is about nuns, but I like them in comics. The Johnny Ray Gun Savage Dragon team up. This was the Kickstarter. A Ray Gun. Johnny Ray Gun's like this ridiculous comedic type. Superhero that works for like a police force, and it's a ray gun villain seeks revenge and gets his magic chimp to grant him three wishes to get revenge. Dragon is to train Ray Gun, and they both have to take down Ray Gun's former villains, like his whole rogues gallery. Ray Gun gets the last wish and wakes up with Dragon naked in the field. I forgot about that. One of his wishes is he loved Dragon so much, and he's doing this like in appreciation of Eric Larson. Like, I really love what you do, but the way he told it through Ray Gun and Savage Dragon, and he wanted to wake up naked with Savage Dragon in the burning field. It was really funny. I still think it was hilarious, and I don't laugh a lot out loud about comics, but that was so funny. So we have Venom number 19 and 20. The good guys win. This is from the Absolute Carnage stuff. And Eddie is back with his son Dylan, who thinks he's his brother instead of son. And Dylan is keeping a secret because he really can control symbiotes rather than control the person. Carnage is now believed to be dead, but Null is alive. It's kind of the conclusion, wrap up of Absolute Carnage. The Fallen Angels number 2. The team is after Apoth. Art is amazing and dark. New Mutants number 1 and 2. Roberta goes into space to get Sam back. They hitch a ride with the Starjammers and they leave them with the Shi'ar and become prisoners until Smasher. You got to remember Smasher and Sam from the Hickman run on Avengers release them, but only if they can be used on their next mission, only if they help with the next mission. Also, Gladiator is trying to get Zandra to rule and is going to help Trainer by enlisting the help of Deathbird. We have X-Force number 1 and 2. The mysterious group that Domino was following invades Krakoa with advanced weapons and kills several mutants along their primary target, Charles Xavier. That was very interesting and surprising. Jean working hard to bring Xavier back while Logan and Kid Omega go to Seoul to try to find Domino and find the killers. So it opens up with a bang, especially strange that something this big happened on a side book and not an X-Men, but good launch. We have Swamp Thing, Giant, also a 4 out of 5, number 2. The Sutherland Corporation hires a woman to capture Swamp Thing after the first attempt failed. Swamp Thing befriends an old man and his son and daughter. The man dies while fishing in the swamp of heart failures. Swamp Thing fights a haunted circus in one of the stories. Swamp Thing has to take down a zombie haunting a college. We find out the student was dying of cancer and brought back to life by his parents. Now the parents want Swamp Thing to kill their monster of a son because he's murdering kids. Swamp Thing is working with Mercury to find Abby in one story. That is from a Constantine story in New 52. Constantine gets an old acquaintance and is being hunted down. Zatanna takes down Brother Knight. She takes on a demon that is able to jump from dream to dream and cause nightmares. Last but not least, the last book that's a 4 out of 5 was Resonant from Vault Comics, number 5. Pax, the father, and Miki fight off cannibals and plan to leave Hondo's Island. The son is part of a cult now and has a girlfriend because he actually left his sister and brother behind because he met those strange kids in the forest. The sister is still caring for the young brother, and he is really having breathing problems now because that's why the father ventured out initially to get him some more medication. So that was a total of 16 comics. The highlights, there were no 5 out of 5s, but the highlights were Resonant number 5, Swamp Thing Giant number 2, and X-Force number 1 and 2. Those were the top books. We have December 9th through December 15th, 2019. We'll start at the bottom. There were a total of 16 comics, 12 Marvel, 3 DC, 1 Charlton. And the movie that I watched that week was A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, a Mr. Rogers movie, but really focuses on somebody that met Mr. Rogers. So it's told through the eyes of another person. Very emotional, great story. I really enjoyed it. Gave it a 5 out of 5. Starting with the 3 out of 5s, we have the new Deadpool number 1. It took me a while to get into it because of Bacallo's art. His art style is so abstract, and sometimes I find it jarring, but I eventually worked its way out, and I started to feel it. I thought Thompson did a great job with the voice, especially when she wrote Gwenpool. And she just writes that character fantastic. Deadpool takes on a giant monster with Elsa Bloodstone, also a reason I bought this, because I'm a fan of Elsa Bloodstone, and then is hunted down by Kraven, also a great villain. So that was Deadpool number 1, 3 out of 5. We then get into the 4 out of 5s, Absolute Carnage number 5. A fitting finale as Dylan realizes his powers as he dissipated a symbiote that was attacking him and Normie. He finds out Brock is his father and not his brother. Venom faces Carnage in a final battle where he appears to kill Carnage. Either way, if Venom won or Carnage won, null would be released. So it's like a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. We have True Believer, Annihilation, Nova number one, second time I've read it, this time as a True Believer. Richard Rider is a student that gets picked on and even blamed for losing to the girls' basketball team. A centurion is dying and needs to pass on his powers to someone. Sound familiar? Like a Green Lantern Abensur, huh? He gives it to Richard and he becomes Nova. He has a run-in with Zor the Conqueror, who killed the previous Nova Corps members, and Zor gets away. True Believers, Annihilation, Man-Wolf. Jonah Jameson is worried about his son. John Jameson finds a portal on the moon that leads him to friends that worship him in good, and they're in the middle of a war. I don't know what I meant by that, but he does meet, like, these characters that worship Man-Wolf, and he tries to help them because they're in the middle of this cosmic war. Amazing Mary Jane number 1 and 2 from Marvel Comics. Mary Jane gets a job with a director who she thinks is famous, but he really is Mysterio. She works through various issues with the studio with Mysterio to keep the project funded. It's very interesting. Even though she finds out he's Mysterio, she wants to help him make this movie. It's a very good comic with behind-the-scenes Hollywood issues. It feels really weird, like real funding issue situations and pictures on, pictures off kind of thing. Like just issues that a film studio might run into trying to get a film done. True Believers, Annihilation, Quasar, number one. Marvel Man decides to become Quasar as two friends of the Hulk, Trish Starr from Defenders and Fred Sloan, take the Hulk to Berkeley to eat. Oh, to eat. That's right, because the Hulk is hungry. Disaster arises in a frat house when they try to feed him. Secret organization looks to pit Hulk against Machine Man. That was a cool issue, but it didn't have a lot of Quasar, which made it interesting in terms of them releasing a Quasar Annihilation story, and it was just like within two panels of that story. But I love the Hulk, so that made it very worth it. Black Panther and the Agents of Wakanda, another 4 out of 5, 1 through 3. I was really surprised about that one. Did not know what to expect, but it was an adrenaline rush, and the comic knocked my socks off. Black Panther forms a rotating cast of heroes to replace S.H.I.E.L.D. We have Wasp, Okoye, Fat Cobra from the Iron Fists, Brew, who's like a brood, Gorilla Man. Then you have a rotating cast like American Eagle, Kazar, Dr. Nemesis, who I haven't seen since the X, was it X-Force? Uncanny X-Force, and Rosalind Solomon. The first two issues, they take on a monster which turns out to be Sentry in the Void. The next issue, they're in space dealing with the situation that Gorilla Man and Brew found. Mockingbird added to the rotation. Great story by Jim Zub with fantastic art by Lan Medina, which is a book that probably nobody gives a shit about, but it was fucking awesome. Haunted Love, especially if you're into B characters and just like a changing lineup, you will have a lot of fun with Black Panther, Agents of Wakanda. We have the next 4 out of 5 is Haunted Love, a Charlton comic. This one is a really good comic. I think I only have to buy number one to complete the series. I love gothic romance. That's what I've... You take horror and you add romance and it turns out really good. A girl who has dreams about a man who dies is committed to an asylum. There she falls in love with that exact man from her dreams, and he does die in a car accident, and she dies and joins him in the afterlife. Very weird story, very entertaining. The second story is about a woman in 1800 London who's attacked by a strange-looking monster, and she's rescued by a sailor, and they fall in love. He tells her never to go out at night because of the monster, but she does anyway. I think he left his hat behind when he was visiting her and her parents, and she wants to take the hat out to him, and then the monster attacks, and we find out the monster is the brother of the sailor. Really crazy story, really entertaining. True Believers, Annihilation, Omega the Unknown, 5 out of 5. Steve Gerber penned this. It's about a boy living with his family, and he gets in a car accident, and his family appears to be robots. During his dream, he dreams of an alien, Omega, fighting evil. A mysterious organization posing as a hospital seeks to take the boy under their care. In my opinion, a story that was told in the 70s, way ahead of its time, very sophisticated. I highly recommend it, the whole series. I read one through whatever number, and I thought it was amazing. It does have an abrupt end, but it was a hell of a series. And this is my second read through Omega the Unknown, number one. True Believers, Annihilation, Annihilus. I had just reread this. I read it within the last 2 years, so I'm reading it again. FF140, Sue had left Reed with Franklin. Reed is devastated. Meanwhile, Annihilus is planning an attack for Reed for revenge. Something is going on with Franklin, and Sue calls Reed for help. When they get there, she and Franklin are gone. They went off with Agatha Harkness. Annihilus defeats the FF, and at this time, Medusa is a member in Sue's absence. A great read, even a second time, 5 out of 5. Men of War from DC Comics, 5 and 6. Gravedigger is sent on a mission to drop an avalanche on a small town occupied by Nazis. He finds there are innocents in the town and tries to rescue them. They all survive by going into a church that the priest takes them into, and all the Nazis die outside from the avalanche. Then it has a Dateline Frontline. The reporter is told the story of an elephant and then goes to the catacombs to meet Digger. During the bombing, Digger and a nurse that went after him are killed. Later, he goes to tell the mother and daughter of the nurse dying, and another bombing raid kills the father of the nurse, but manages to save the daughter and grandmother with the help of a young girl who is going to be beheaded. Only have the people on the art or say, oh, this is the great, I got this confused with the Dateline Frontline. So let me go, later, the bomb expert is trapped during another bombing, so the reporter has to defuse the dud bomb, and then it's got, I switch over to Gravedigger's story, where Gravedigger is sent to a town to save Art, and he saves a young girl who's going to be beheaded, only to have the people and the art, only a few of the people and the art are saved, but he does manage to save a select few. We have question, and that felt a lot like, there was a war movie that had the guy from Roseanne and a couple other characters, Clooney, where they had to go rescue Art from the Nazis. This is kind of what it felt like. Then we have Question, The Death of Vic Sage. Vic uncovers a teenage prostitution ring that has links to the politician. He confronts Myra Furman, who is the sister of a mayor about to link to the corruption on his show, but she defends her brother, the mayor. Later, she finds out the truth. It shows him visiting Tot and Richard Dragon about a secret organization that he was trying to uncover when he saw these strange rings, and he links it to the strange organization. It was an awesome issue by Jeff Lemire and The Question. So the top out of those were Question, The Death of Vic Sage, DC, Men of War, 5 and 6, DC, and two Marvel books, Annihilus and Omega the Unknown. We then get into December 16th through 12/22. Only read, this was right before Christmas, so I imagine what happened is I was super busy at work and didn't have time to read much right before the Christmas break. Only 5 read, 2 Marvel and 3 DC. We have Hawk and Dove, the second series. This is the Rob Liefeld. Kessel and Liefeld, as Hank is dealing with the loss of his brother. That's Carl Kessel, by the way. way, and he does ink it him as well. He is trying to get on a football team, but the coach is not catching him a break. He is made a joke of by the media when he apprehends some crooks and they vanish. He hangs out with his best friend and girlfriend, who's a tennis player, a photographer, who's a waitress, and Don, who's actually Dove. Dove follows him and saves him, but he just can't get to deal with another Dove now that his brother Dove died in Crisis on Infinite Earths. Kestrel kills as many people and finally finds Hank, who he's really after. We get into Lobo number one. This is the new 52 slash DCU, if you remember, YOU, that came between DC 52 and Rebirth. The skinny Lobo beheads the main man that has taken his place. So it's like the main man that we know as Lobo was an imposter. Then he is hired to go after many bounty hunters and stop them from murdering someone. He does not know that who that someone is. It shows a flashback with his ex-lover on his world. It was a really good comic. It got shat on a lot because of hardcore Lobo fans, but if you're willing to enjoy a good story, it's really worth it. 4 out of 5. True Believers, Annihilation, Moondragon. The first appearance of Madame McEvil, who's Moondragon, as she and her evil robot pit force against Iron Man to attack Namor. And it was really cool. And I didn't know she started off as a villain, because my first comic with her in was an early Marvel team-up. And I remember buying that at an Alsup's convenience store, because I loved that. It had many characters in it, but it featured Moondragon, and I was like, who's this sexy bald lady in a green outfit? We have True Believers, Annihilation, Odin Power number one. L'Oreal, Enchantress's sister, has Thor. She's a big part in Williams. God, why did I lose his name? Simonson. Walt Simonson. I couldn't think of his name. I blanked. I kept on thinking of Ragnarok, which he's writing at IDW, and the name just wasn't coming out. That's the white dots in your brain. As you hit 40 and you get older, if you ever have an MRI for something, they may talk about these white dots in your brain. And it's usually normal, but they look for them in certain spots. But as you get older, you get these white dots. And you do you remember with old Windows, you used to have to defrag your disk to help the disk partition itself? Well, that's kind of like what the white dots are, except you can't defrag it. You'll usually never have access to that part of your brain anymore, which is pretty interesting. There's just a fun fact. But anyway, Thor defeats Malachi and wants to take him to Asgard for imprisonment. Baldur comes back from the rise of Surtur. Odin tells the story of him and his brothers as they stole the fire from Surtur's sword and how he got the Odin power. So that was 5 issues. They were all great, 4 out of 5. We then get into this 1222 through 1229. We had 43 comics, 16 Marvel and 27 DC. That was more like a what I should be reading per week. And that's even I intake way more than that, but that's where I feel comfortable if I could read that many a week. We have 3 out of 5s from Amazon Prime. I watched The Mad Doctor of Blood Island and the Brides of Blood, which are the Blood Island. There's a Blood Island trilogy. I didn't watch the third one. They're decent, crazy movies, but I enjoyed them. If you like B films, that they were filmed in the Philippines. We have 4 out of 5 Jumanji: The Next Level. Saw that at the theater with mom and dad. 5 out of 5s were The Movies That Made Us Season 1, The Toys That Made Us Season 3, and Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. Excellent movie. We then get into the four out of fives we had. I read during this, I went to an old DC box of unread books, and I realized I didn't finish New 52 Future's End. And I used to do a podcast about it, and we ended it with 34, but it was 35 through 48. And Bruce and Mr. Terrific pretty much caused a huge issue in the future in which Terry McGinnis needs to try and fix. Terry goes back to the past, which is our future, and tries to stop it. He does it with the help of many different plot threads and characters. Hellblazer brings back Superman from retirement. Shazam is posing as Superman in his absence. This leads to a big fight with Brainiac and the merged Joker Batman from the future. Terry ends up dying and hands the mantle to Tim Drake. There is a Frankenstein plot with Amethyst in which he and her take on Dr. Frankenstein to try to find a cure for Frank's dying because of the nth metal. There is a plot with the Wildstorm characters that does not seem to amount to much, but it's there. And the other plot involves Ray Palmer, the new female Firestorm, and the Justice League as they take on down Brainiac. This was a weekly series. This was a lot of fun. A lot of people didn't like it, but it had story beats, man. It kept moving, and a crazy finale. I really liked it. It probably should have gone 52 issues, but they cut it short at 48. We have Hawk and Dove Volume 2 from Liefeld and Kessel 3 and 5. Hank meets the new Dove and she saves him from Kestrel. Kestrel wants Hank to be his chaos partner, but he refuses and Kestrel is trying to kill him. We learn of the new Dove's origin and how she became Dove when protecting her mom from a terrorist attack. Hank regrets her, but eventually accepts her and they take down Kestrel. We have X-Men number 39. This is volume 1, old school. The conclusion to the X-Men versus the Mutant Master and his evil group of mutants trying to start World War III. The Mutant Master is really an alien trying to destroy Earth. The X-Men make a temporary truce with the Masters of Evil to defeat the Mutant Master. X-Men get new costumes at the end from Jean, and the backup is an early Cyclops story before he was an X-Men. It was a really good arc. I was impressed with this arc, especially the way it opened. It opened funny and very entertaining. Fantastic Four 139 and 141. I probably didn't count that as two, so I'm going to add one more to Marvel. Marvel 17, and that makes it 44 comics. But anyway, Miracle Man stole the powers of a Native American gods and the Fantastic Four, along with Wyatt Wingfort to take him down. The Fantastic Four and Wyatt find themselves trapped in the lair of Annihilus, where he also has Sue, Agatha, and young Franklin as hostages. Can Reed and his FF teammates save their captive comrades before it's too late? Reed makes a tough decision regarding his son, and the FF can't believe it. And it's a hardcore decision, and causes them to sort of break up at the end of 141. We have Lobo 1 through 6. We already talked about number one, but this was Cullen Bunn takes on a real Lobo in the New 52, and he takes down the main man. I must have already read this again because I took this on the trip. We all know because he's an imposter, he is hired to stop several bounty hunters from destroying Earth. We find out that he is the last Zarian because he was really trying to save the planet from a religious leader who is killing his people, but takes the blame for the destruction, even though it really wasn't him. He does end up saving Earth and killing the rest of the bounty hunters. Lobo, third series, 1 through 6. I surprised how much I liked it. And then I started my adopt a character with Silver Surfer, Volume 3, 1 through 13, a 4 out of 5. Really good series. Silver Surfer is granted freedom from being trapped on Earth by Galactus. That happens in the first volume of Fantastic Four really early. With the help of the Fantastic Four, he's able to find a way to escape Earth and get freedom from Galactus. if he saves Nova from the Skrulls, and he sort of escapes Earth. Galactus finds out, makes a deal to help Nova. That's Frankie Ray. And the Skrulls recently had their shape-shifting powers taken away, and some of the Skrulls are stuck in that form when the bomb went off, so they might be whatever form they will be, but they're still Skrulls. They just can't shift again. The elders of the universe can't die and find out they are not the oldest beings in the universe and seek to kill Galactus. Silver Surfer returns to Zenla and Shalabal. She is now in charge of the world and has no time for Norrin. He vows to protect Zenla, but then he leaves rejected. Meanwhile, in the Skrull, Kree War is starting. The Supreme Intelligence has the Soul Gem and looks to have the upper hand against the Skrulls, but the Surfer is captured, and while the Supreme Intelligence... Surfer is captured by the Supreme Intelligence and grants he won't involve Zen Law. But he can't agree to the terms that Surfer takes the soul, so he takes the soul gem. This makes the Supreme Intelligence shut down temporarily and grant the power to the next in command. Well, the next in command is another undercover Skrull who is loving the power. The elders of the universe seek to kill Galactus and almost do. They do kill Mantis in the process, who has become in a relationship with Surfer. And then Surfer goes after the elders with Galactus, and they are defeated. All except the Contemplator, who Galactus sends Surfer and Nova to destroy. The Surfer might now think he's in a relationship with Nova, Frankie Ray. So we went from Shalabah to Baal to... Mantis, and then Mantis died, and then Surfer, was he hooking up with Frankie Ray Nova? I know they kiss. Well, we'll find out. We have Aquaman Giant number 2, 5 out of 5. I just love these giants because of the value for the money. It's like 5 stories, 2 new, 3 old. Fantastic value. We have Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant number 1. The new stories tie into the crossover on CW, which I haven't watched yet. I'm getting close. I'm trying to get caught up on Batgirl now. I'm caught up on Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl. Just need Batgirl and Black Lightning, and then I can jump into the Crisis. But I read this ahead of time. The old stories are from the original title and are absolutely fantastic. I forgot how much Firestorm played a role in that initial, and how much obscure characters were just in there initially. We have Question Volume 1. This is the Denny O'Neill and Cohen team up. We have Vic Sage as a reporter is trying to take down the mayor. This isn't the new one that's coming out by Jeff Lemire, but this is the original. And all the corruption. He is working as the Question to take things down physically, but the bad guys have Lady Shiva, and she almost kills him, but brings him back to life for some reason, and he is trained by a crippled Richard Dragon. Tot is his right-hand man. And you got to remember that Lady Shiva started off. Lady Shiva, Bronze Tiger, started off in a title called Richard Dragon, Kung Fu Fighter. And Kung Fu Fighter's training the Question. It's just awesome how it all comes together. So that was a good week for comics. That was 44. So just some of the highlights from DC. It seems like DC rolled the 5 out of 5s for me with Aquaman, Giant, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Giant, Question, Volume 1, 1 through 2, was 5 out of 5s. And then we had Question, The Death of Vic Sage, the new volume, was also 5 out of 5. Men of War, DC. 5 and 6, True Believers, Annihilation, Annihilus, True Believers, Annihilation, Omega the Unknown, 5 out of 5s. And I think that wraps it up. So I want to thank you for listening. I'm getting really hungry, even though it's only 11. I will talk to you soon, and thanks again. My name is Mike Myers. You can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. On the Twitter, on Facebook, it's under Geek Brunch Podcast. You can also reach me at DC Noise Podcast. And Mike at comicbooknoise.com if you want to send me an email. Thank you for listening. keep in touch and send questions at any time. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.